like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, November 24th, 2014. First, I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's our normal agenda. We'll start off with the approval of the regular session minutes for November 10th, 2014.
I'll make the motion.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Lewis to approve the regular session minutes as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. But the record show that the motion passed unanimously 5-0. Next, we have the approval of the executive session minutes of the Mayor and Council for November 10th.
Make a motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve by Councilmember Paul to approve the executive session minutes as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. And that again is an unanimous vote. The reason for the closing of the meeting for the executive session on November 10th was to discuss the appointment, employment, assignment, promotion, discipline, demotion, compensation, removal, resignation, or performance evaluation of appointees, employees, or other officials over whom the town of Berlin has jurisdiction. Also, to consult with our counsel to obtain legal advice on a legal matter. Next, we have an update from the Berlin Pedestrian Safety Committee and Patricia Dufendorf, the chairman. And anyone else you want to bring up, it's fine.
Well, do you
want to
come up? You can.
Or you can play it safe.
He's my support. He's my backup.
You're going to be doing fine.
I'm with friends like that, yes. Thank you for the opportunity to update you on the efforts of our committee. I would like to express my gratitude to all of the individuals who have contributed their time and energy to advance the idea that pedestrian safety is important in our town. I would like to acknowledge our partners in improving pedestrian safety, Donnie Drewer, Dallas Baker, and all of the people in SHA who have worked to have our projects funded and executed. None of our efforts would have counted if they did not work to have our needs fulfilled. And let me just reiterate that. They have been there every step of the way at every meeting. They have gone above and beyond to make sure that paperwork was filed in time for us to get our funding for their various projects. They have us very high on their list of priorities, and I'm grateful for that. Last year at this time, hundreds of people took the time to learn about the need to improve conditions for pedestrians and signed a petition. The mayor and council listened and supported the formation of a committee which included private individuals and town representatives. I've listed these officials and community members here on your paper. If you'd like for me to enumerate them, I'd be happy to. Our town officials who were part of our committee, Councilmember Dean Burrell, Councilmember Lisa Hall, Town Administrator Laura Allen, and Police Chief Arnold Downing. Our community members, Patricia Dufendorf, Gabe Purnell, Sue Beeman, and Roxy Dennis. All of these individuals came to our meetings, stood up for their communities. We got a plan together based on people just coming and hashing it out, and we did. The first visible result of our actions has been the reduction of the speed limit on US 113 from 50 to 45 miles per hour. High visibility of police cruisers and increased enforcement has slowed down traffic through the town. But let me remind you that we all must take the chance every day, not only to just take it down to 45, but you can go a little slower through our town. You can slow down in our town because it is an urban area. Our neighbors are walking on the streets. Our neighbors' children are walking on the streets. There are a lot of schools and a lot of people who are unfamiliar with our town. We are now, fortunately, a tourist attraction, so you have a lot of people who are unfamiliar with what's going on. As their host, we need to be ever mindful of their need as well as our own. At Bay Street, Maryland 376, a crosswalk has been added and sidewalks have been extended to provide a safer crossing path across the highway. A bicycle path has been added to US 113 between Old Ocean City Boulevard intersection and Germantown Road intersection. Signs are in place to notify drivers of these lanes. Construction is underway to install the new countdown crosswalk apparatus at Bay Street. Perhaps you've seen the huge cement bases that are going to be the holding this apparatus. Traffic signals will be converted from span wire to mast arms and include two additional overhead lights for a total of four lights. This addresses one of our major issues at that intersection, which was lack of visibility, darkness. People couldn't see what was going on. So this really does address that issue with the additional two lights. The sidewalk approaches will need to be reconfigured during this process. What this means is at one point, right now we have a lovely little ramp where you can take your wheelchair or roll off of it. At some point, this is going to have to be changed, so there will be a time when you will not be able to use your wheelchair in that fashion and the nice things that we provided. So construction means things are going to be torn up, but it's all going to go back right. It's just...
It's
all temporary. It's just that be aware that there will be construction. These new crosswalks will finally allow pedestrians to initiate a light change and crosswalk signal activation. The countdown feature will be visible and audible. This is a big thing because there are a lot of people who are visually impaired and they need to be able to get across that highway. They have a lot of testing to do once it gets put in to make sure that you can get across the highway. And we're going to need at that time, when we do have it installed, to remind people, do not stop in the middle of the highway. Continue on across. Let me just tell you that in any highway situation, do not get stuck in the middle island. Go across. The cars are supposed to stop for you. That is Maryland law. And let me reiterate, it's Maryland law for drivers to stop for pedestrians in the crosswalk. Especially, when they have the right of way. Hazard identification beacons are still on track to be installed north and south of Berlin on Route 113 in spring of 2015. The design request submitted for signal ahead and urban area ahead. The locations will correspond to the speed limit drop that is there now. So it'll be just like over when you approach Easton, a big sign notifying people that they're coming. People cannot use the excuse that they did not realize that a town and a signal is coming up. They will know to expect a neighborhood, a town. Funding for the US 113 Maryland 346 intersection concept study has been approved. It will examine right-of-way and drainage issues beginning in January of 2015. This will be the first step towards constructing a pedestrian crossing at the most heavily used intersection in Berlin. This survey that they're doing will be, it's for the right-of-ways. They're going to have to change the accesses from Old Ocean City Boulevard, and they're going to have to install a crosswalk. This is going to have to deal with the property owners on each side of the highway yielding somewhat. And with the any construction that goes on, I believe that Berlin has a requirement of having sidewalks put in along that way. If you put a business up, don't you have to put a sidewalk on that property in Berlin? So this will be helpful as that's developed. We really want the SHA to weigh in heavily on how to best design this intersection to be pedestrian friendly. We have a lot of people who park their cars. It would be nice to be able to walk around you know, instead of driving across the street to get to here, driving across the street to get to there, to park your car, and then you can use all of those shops that are right in that one area instead of having to drive, cause accidents, get in the way, all of that stuff. Further down the line, a shared use path along 113 from Maryland 376 to Maryland 346 is planned. This will be 2 to 3 years in the future, and that will connect the Bay Street area to the Old Ocean City Boulevard area, where people are routinely walking now. Every day we see our neighbors walking up and down the highway. They're, as they move forward with this plan, they'll, of course, have to get right-of-ways. All of that has to be settled. And if the SHA is looking forward to this, boy, I'm really excited about it, too. We're very happy that they want to do all of these good things for our town. And it fits in with our walkable, bikeable Berlin. It just improves the community. It improves the value of all the property and the desirability of the community. In addition to the physical improvements along the highway, we have participated in the Walk Smart campaign by distributing posters, bookmarks, and drink coasters. If you've been to any of our finer establishments, you've probably seen the little crab, go ahead, walk all over me. He's on the crosswalk. And on the other side, it says, show off your glow, be visible at night. These are two messages which, if you're using this drink coaster, you might need to be reminded. So, I'm glad that that message is out there. And I think that if you have an establishment that does not have these, I believe that they're still available at the visitor center. I think they still have some left. So let them know or let me know, and I'll pick them up and bring them to you, one way or the other. Our website, berlinwalksmart.com, is hosted by the Town of Berlin website. Please check it out. We have some important, takes you to different areas about important messages about pedestrian safety and so on. We are developing an education program for early elementary school children. We started planning this with Dr. Dennis is an educator, and she's really looking a lot at the different materials that are out there, and we're grateful for her experience to be able to move this, you know, move it into the classroom. We're seeking sources of funding from the SHA for education materials, and are beginning a partnership with the Worcester County Health Department in order to strengthen our message. If you weren't available on November the 8th, there was a Just Walk Berlin event held at Stephen Decatur Park, which was attended by people who are trying to improve their health. And the Worcester County Health Department sponsors this in all the municipalities and areas, wherever they can reach people to emphasize the importance of walking. That's the first step towards better health. So that's where we are. They have Just Walk. We want you to walk smart, and we all want you to have pedestrian safety. So we think that that's a good match for us, and as we move forward, we will be looking to move it into the classroom. But we're probably going to be testing it out in local groups. If you have a church or a group that would like to hear our message as we get together, we'll have that posted on our website. We'll also let you know, and but let it give us names, give us lists. We, you know, want to. If you have Sunday school that you want to have it, people come and listen to it. We'll be happy to do that. Message is pedestrian safety. We think that young children are the best way to get the message to the whole family, because everybody knows that smart alecky 8-year-old that tells their mom, put your safety belt on, Mom. Don't pick up the telephone, Mom. You know, so we want that message to get home, get to the adults, and make it a family affair. Pedestrian safety, all kinds of safety, driving safety, it's all a family affair. And we have to take it seriously like that. We'll also be requesting funding from Berlin for materials to hand out at town events, such as Touch a Truck, the Memorial Day events, and et cetera, any other events that we can. We will be putting these packets together, and when we get our list of materials needed, we will be asking for funding. Thank you, Laura.
And be sure we get that during the budget process.
I think we have an in on that. Yeah. She can tell us when we have to get stuff.
She needs to give me the count.
Yeah, sorry. We hope that these actions will provide a safer environment for all of us here in Berlin. And if you will look on the back of your page, we have included, this is from directly from the Walk Smart website. It has Walk Smart, Drive Smart, and Bike Smart, because all of these people are using the roads. There's only two groups here that are vulnerable roadway users, and it's not drivers. It's pedestrians and cyclists. Every driver needs to understand that they are not the vulnerable parties, the pedestrian, the cyclist. These are vulnerable parties on the road. They have every right to use that road, and we as drivers need to give it our full attention to protect those people who cannot withstand a 60 mile an hour impact. It's just, we don't ever want to have that happen on our roads. We don't want anyone to get hurt, and no driver should ever have to live with that that horrible pain either. May I answer any questions? Yes, sir.
Yes, I've got a question. I don't know if you can answer this or if the chief has to answer this, but I've been asked by several folks if you're going to have official left turn lanes on 346 heading east and west when this is all completed.
346 is really not in discussion with what they're actually looking at. They have actually either talked to them with the more businesses actually being generated, possibly the Dollar General. There's a lot of discussion about widening that road and doing a lot of things different. The puppy tracks are there right now, and again, 346 has not been the priority of the discussions with this group. However, discussions have started on State Highway.
And as you heard me say, the funding for the concept study, you're talking about Old Ocean City Boulevard. This is the concept study. The funding has been approved, that's an important first step. You have to get those engineers out there to make their measurements, to find out what can be done. You know, from our point of view, we want to be sure that it's pedestrian safe. We've all seen our neighbors try to cross that road. And, you know, of course, there's no way that you can initiate a change in that signal or anything. So we want to be sure that those safety issues are dealt with. They also have to deal with, you know, all of their right-of-ways, their drainage, their, you know, the sidewalk issue, you know, who's responsible for that. So these are issues, yes, when SHA is out there and they're doing this in January, we'll be having a meeting with the SHA. Our next pedestrian safety meeting will be on January 14th at 5 o'clock. If you would like to attend, Dallas Baker will be, he's been a faithful attendee. He's not missed a single meeting. In fact, but, you know, it really is, we're grateful for having
him. January
14th, which is a Wednesday, I believe. And that'll be at 5 o'clock. And they will be, all that they're going to be doing really much is looking at it for the basic concept. So, but that's what the engineers do. They'll be doing it around that time. So if you have questions, put them to them, and they will get them answered. If he doesn't have the answer at his fingertips, he will get the answer about that.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I was, not last night, the night before, it was about 10 o'clock, and I was at the light there, the first car. It was really dark, starting to rain, and I caught something out of the corner of my eye. There was two people all dressed. I mean, I didn't see. It scared me because I'm at a red light, but I'm thinking, oh, my God, I didn't see those people. What if I had took off? But, you know, if the paper's right about this discussion tonight, please remind people that they've got to wear some reflective. It is so dangerous. And I think the best thing that, you know, Patricia's telling us is a lot's accomplished in 1 year. And the fact that the state has put the money in to do that design study right there at Old Ocean City Boulevard, you know, they're stepping up to the plate too, because normally that's their excuse. We don't have the money for the design study. But the state is just as honest as we are. And I think the mayor will approve, I don't think this committee's going away or anything until we make it safer.
Oh.
We get that sidewalk and that countdown at Old Ocean City Boulevard, too.
Well, I think that, you know, pedestrian safety, all kinds of public safety are important. We've had such an urgent issue with pedestrian safety. As we're moving from from a town where you have to drive everywhere. Mm-hmm. We're changing our ideas. We're changing our mind about that. We want to be walkable and bikeable. We're inviting pedestrians. We're inviting cyclists. By making that simple statement, walkable, bikeable Berlin, when we make that statement, we're implying that we're going to do everything we can to make sure. And that implies that we are going to have to stay up on pedestrian safety, all kinds of safety. I'm sure that the chief would say all safety is, you can't just put it on the shelf and say, oh, well, I dealt with that. Fire safety. The firemen every year, they're reminding us to be careful. So we're not going to go away. We want to be sure that your children are safe and your grandchildren, when they come to visit, they're not going to be put into a situation that is inherently unsafe.
Any other questions?
A concern and one question.
This is Mr. Gabe Purnell, by the way.
Yeah, Gabe Purnell. I've been finding that a lot of the outside people that's passing through, they're just not obeying it. Mm-hmm. I mean, as late as yesterday, and they barred through that 65 miles an hour, passing every five or six cars. So I was just wondering, Chief, have you had any monitoring there? What is your take on it?
Well, one thing is we've actually been having increased patrols. We have an increased citations. State police has actually been doing enforcement there also.
They were out there today.
So again, the 45 doesn't start in town. It actually starts outside of town.
Yeah.
So again, we're actually having other patrols start as far as Chop Tank. And actually starting on the other side of 818 coming into town before the overpass, people are going to go ahead and speed, especially if they're going from, North Carolina to this place and long distances. More enforcement they see, the slower they'll go ahead and get. The locals are the ones that we're really targeting, and hopefully they'll go ahead and get the message to go ahead and slow down through this whole period and stretch. We went one whole month with warnings only, and after that we've been getting citations. So again, our partners have been right there with us during that whole stretch, and they understand the importance of the enforcement part.
I think one thing too, just to give you an example, it does take time to get the reputation that there is enforcement at a particular location. Mm-hmm. It's taken quite a while, but I think most people who are paying any attention at all know that when you are heading eastbound, just west of Maryland 346 on Route 50, for the last several years, there has been an intense, and it's not just summertime, speeding enforcement effort there. And there's a big difference over time. Unfortunately, there's always going to be somebody who's new and comes through. But if we can at least reduce the number of people coming through to the true newcomer, most people, when you hit them with a pocketbook, that's the most effective thing.
I think the big question is how many more accidents have we actually had on the on 113 since? With the reduction of speed, we've actually had a reduction of accidents.
That's a good message. Thank you, Chief.
And again, I think one thing I want to, first of all, please pass on to the other members, Patricia, you and Gabe, and of course those of you in the town, Dean and Lisa, Laura, and Chief Downing, is I do see this as an ongoing effort. I think that as we tackle one the most unsafe spot, then we go to the second most unsafe. And 113, surprisingly, we'll talk about this more later, but not about this specific part, but when they did the excursion train study, they were shocked by the volume of traffic, the average daily traffic count on 113. It is, and if you think it's high now, wait until it gets fully dualized. It should have been dualized a long time ago, and I say that knowing that some people might not like me saying that, but it's the damn truth.
It's true.
And when that gets dualized, the amount of traffic, people want to hover, and they want to be as close to the coast as they can.
Yeah.
And the only thing holding it back to the level it would normally be is the single lane that are left between Snow Hill and just south of Berlin. So here's the thing. I do think that this is going to be an ongoing effort. I think we've got at least three identifiable intersections there, but it's something that I think you're already doing. We want to be a walkable, bikeable community in every neighborhood. So the same principles that apply there, that apply everywhere else. Hopefully, though, we won't need a pedestrian safety configuration of signals and so forth, but you all have done an unbelievable amount in a short time.
Well, none of it would have happened if it hadn't been for the people of Berlin educating themselves, taking the time to listen and learn, and getting involved. They, you know, they're talking to their neighbors, and that's, you know, that's one thing Berlin's good about, is talking to neighbors. and so, you know, and we came to the decision that this is something that had to be done. When I think the hazard identification beacons, when they go in, thank goodness that we've put it in this far in advance. I had no idea it took, 18 months or however long it takes to get these things constructed, and, you know, because each one has to be measured to the size of the road. It's very technical and overwhelmingly difficult. They don't just have it in a warehouse somewhere. They have to get the engineering. They have to, you know, make all of the hurricane measurements, because everything on 113 has to pass hurricane issues. You know, that's why we're getting the masts now instead of the wires. So we're getting big improvements. We're getting more lights. People will not think that they're still out in the middle of the country when they're coming to Berlin. And then if we do, you know, if a Germantown road is developed there, the SHA will be looking at that intersection and trying to improve that. That's another thing down the line that, of course, the mayor and council and SHA is going to have to deal with. And I don't think that we'll have to be involved with that. I hope that that's something that just naturally occurs now, because it's the right thing to do.
Because it is the right thing to do, and the standard has been set.
Amen.
And the concern, and coming from the report that was released in the newspaper, it's left quite a few in the community conflicted and confused about the way it was handled. And it really has, I feel, personally has an effect on the psyche of the community. You know, it has been, you know, it's just the way things happen with the investigation I'm talking about, coming from the state group of police, which was in the paper. You know, people are, I mean, you know, might not be, you know, like we say, Berlin, or the community of talkers, people are talking, and people are confused and conflicted about it. That's my...
We have a lot of responsibilities for one of the state police.
I'm just saying, but we're a community.
Yeah.
We are a community.
And
what happens, you know, in our community, you know, it has an effect. I mean,
and the things that
their questions need to be answered, or things need to be done, it needs to be done properly, it needs to be done where the community is satisfied.
Well, I think, here's the thing.
Not necessarily with the outcome, but with the process.
This is why I'm encouraged, because I remember when there was no process, when there was no communication, when there was no true community. And I really believe that this is one of those times, looking back when years from now, when people will say the community truly came together for all the right
community
reasons.
Came together.
That's
true.
And I think that, you know, it's small comfort for the family, but for the greater family of Berlin, I think we've, you know, set a new standard of what we expect from citizens, and that's to care about everybody. And regardless if they're a motorist, or regardless of what neighborhood they live in, regardless of their racial background, or all these other things. This is a beginning, but I have to say, education is going to be the key. You think of how many people in this room, you know, this is a rhetorical question. When you had to do your driver's license training, did they give you a whole bunch of training about looking out for pedestrians? I didn't get 1 minute, because nobody thought about pedestrians years ago. Gradually, generation by generation, but we need to speed up the process. We can't take on the world, but we can certainly take on Berlin.
Well, we're trying to through education, because a lot of this is not in the schools. Kids do not have to have their driver's education in school anymore. And so there are a lot of people out on the road who get the, I'm sure that it's perfectly adequate, but it's not 3 months of some driver instructor telling you about their experiences on the road, you know, that kids used to get in their driver education. And so we're hoping by looking at young people, but getting them the education and hopefully placing it in schools, giving it a place of value. Safety is a valuable thing. We're hoping that the message becomes more important, because right now it is not, as you've said, pointed out. It does not seem to be high on the level of.
But again, big things start in small places.
Well, that's why we start with little children.
Again, I want to commend you all for what you've done and what you're continuing to do, and just keep on trying.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Next, we have the annual report on the audit for the town of Berlin by PKS Incorporated, and as they have the last several years, Leslie Challey and Just briefly explain what the audit is about and why we do it.
First off, thank you for inviting us here this evening. I'm a partner with PKS and Company, and Leslie, as a manager, has been working on the town's audit for many years now. And we have previously delivered and discussed a draft of the financial statements and reports with the town administrator and the finance director. And our purpose tonight is to just review the results of the audits, mention some of the key highlights, and then hopefully answer any questions that you might have. I'd like to begin with the audit report, which in your bound financial statements is pages 1 and 2. Last year, you may recall, we talked about a new audit report language and expanded paragraphs dealing with management and auditor responsibilities. I'm happy to say that this year's report is exactly the same wording, so there's no changes this year in the reporting. I'm also happy to state that our opinion on Berlin's financial statements for the year ended June 30th, 2014, which is noted at the top of page 2 under the opinions paragraph, is unmodified. This means that the financial statements present fairly the financial position of the town in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles as of June 30th, 2014. And this is also what's known as a clean opinion, and is the highest level of assurance that we can provide as auditors. In addition to the audit report, in accordance with government auditing standards, require us to report on the town's internal controls, and that report is on pages 48 and 49 of the financial statements. Again, I'm happy to report that we had no material weaknesses noted in our testing of internal controls this year. And the only comment we had, there's a mention of a significant deficiency in there, is really a repeat of a prior year comment that's been there for several years, dealing with the preparation of financial statements by town staff in accordance with accounting principles. And this is a fairly common finding in municipalities and local governments, generally because they don't have the large enough accounting staffs in order to do their own statements per se. So that's not an uncommon finding. And I guess with that, that's kind of the reports I want to talk about. There's also a report in there on compliance and other matters, which is at the very end. And that's dealing with the compliance matters with federal monies. And we had no findings or reporting issues there whatsoever. So that's kind of a general overview of the three reports that are in the binder. And I'll let Leslie cover some of the financial highlights with you at this point.
As you're aware, the town's operations are accounted for in different funds. You have four enterprise or utility funds. In addition, you have the general fund, which accounts for the general operations of the town, the police department, the street department, parks and recreation, and administration. So first I'm going to cover the general fund. For the year ended June 30th, 2014, the general fund had total revenues of $5,193,000, expenditures of $4,402,000, and a transfer out to the stormwater fund of $300,000, resulting in an increase in your general fund balance of $491,469. If we add that to your fund balance at the beginning of the year, the town ended the year with a fund balance of $7,579,000. Of this amount, just over $800,000 is either restricted or earmarked for certain purposes, which leaves you an unassigned or available fund balance of $6,757,000. This represents approximately 18 months of average daily operating expenses, which is a very healthy fund balance. The graph that we have here shows your fund balance over the past 6 years, and you can see that in 2009 you were just over $8 million, and since then the fund balance has ranged between $7 and $8 million, so you've maintained a good, healthy fund balance for a number of years. General fund revenues for the year were, as I said, $5,193,000. 56% of your revenues come from property taxes. Other significant sources of revenue are intergovernmental revenues, which make up 19% of your revenues, and those are revenues and grants from federal, state, or county governments. And 12% of your revenues come from service charges to your enterprise or utility funds. If we compare revenues this year and last year, almost the same. Had an increase of $3,600, or less than 1% increase between the 2 years. Your general fund expenditures were $4,402,000. The largest area of expenditures is public safety, which uses 36% of your expenditures. The general government or administration uses 26% of your expenditures, and the public works area use 20% of your expenditures. Again, if we compare this year and last year, your expenditures actually decreased $840,000, or 16%, and most of that was due to significant decreases in debt service costs, because in the prior year you had paid off some notes, and a decrease in capital outlay expense due to some larger projects that you had in 2013. This other chart, again, shows general fund expenditures, this time by type of expenditure. 45% of your general fund expenditures went towards salaries, with another 18% to benefits and taxes, which makes up 63% of the town's expenditures goes towards salaries and benefits. Moving on to the utility funds, the electric fund. The electric fund had an increase in its net position of $569,000 for the year, compared to an increase of $438,000 in the prior year. Revenues decreased a little bit by 1%, and your operating expenses decreased by 3% for the year. The water fund had an increase in its net position of $25,125. Again, compared to an increase in the prior year of about $32,000. The sewer fund actually had an operating loss of $810,000, had non-operating expenses, most of that which that is interest expense, of $427,000, special connection fees collected of $35,000, for a decrease in net position of $1,203,000. And then finally, the stormwater fund, which in its first year, full year of operations, had an operating loss of $113,000. You had budgeted a transfer from the general fund of $300,000, so the stormwater fund actually had an increase in its net position of $187,000. For your enterprise or utilities funds in total, you ended the year with a total net position of just over $20 million. $18.5 million of that is your investment in property, plant, and equipment, net of any related debt. You had $716,000, which are the special connection fees, the accumulated special connection fees that are restricted for capital expenditures, leaving you unrestricted or available net position of $806,000 for the end of the year. So really, in conclusion, the town is in good financial position as of June 30th, 2014.
Does anyone have any specific questions or general questions for Leslie or Mike?
I'm trying to think of a Paula question.
Hey, we missed that.
I mean, she obviously is doing much more than probably that.
Sure. Yeah.
Budget. So the expenses higher, income lower. Where do we miss the mark?
In the budget. What's that show? Page 40? Mm-hmm. One page out of it.
No, I don't have a sewer budget in
here. I saw you had it in for the general fund.
General fund is the one we showed, yeah. I don't think the enterprise fund's budget is in here.
It's not, I don't think it's in here.
Yeah, I don't believe it is.
You had made some recommendations related to the sewer fund.
You know, obviously you've had some major projects going on in the sewer fund, you know, the spray site, which is just finishing up. So there's probably additional operating expenses in getting those up and running. That maybe had not been anticipated, but
I think we all target somewhere around 35 EDUs being sold every year to help. We've hit that in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Right,
I
agree.
That's a big piece of it, too, and that's going to change. It should be changing.
I think we've already hit the 35 this year.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
25 with the
dialysis. Yeah, the 25 with the dialysis. Okay. Dialysis. Yeah. So already 6 months in, we've already almost
hit. Yeah, we did lose. Okay. If we hit 20 a year for the last several years, we were fortunate. But
we did.
That was the average over the report. So I think that things are turning around.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess at this point, from your perspective, given the sewer fund, is everyone aware of the revenues obviously were lower than
sure.
we expected and the expenses were higher, but Jane, are you aware of any other major improvements that we have to do now that we've been working on for 6 years? Is there anything left that's big? I mean, obviously,
No. I mean, there's some infrastructure that needs some work on it, but it's not immediately needed. I mean, infrastructure like piping in the ground, collection, distribution lines, mostly collection lines, especially if some of the projects go through. Some of the sewer collection lines are undersized.
Which is understandable.
But yeah, we're not talking $17 million.
Not any capital improvements. Are people using it to discharge? I remember one time we had a tour and you showed us where you could weigh their truck and receive from the pumper. Is that terrain profitable or holding its own? I mean, is it part of your?
We budget about $75,000 of septage hauling revenue a year, and we usually get around 80-85. So
that's working out well too.
Emergency repairs of old equipment. Like the piping and the
we had several emergency repairs down through the fiscal year 14, which were not expected. Like the major repairs were down to the sewer pumps due, I guess, the cold weather and some of the piping, I think, was late due to collapsing. I remember it was something.
Yeah, there were some pipes, but again, we're not talking millions or even hundreds of thousands. It was more like 80,000 or something. Less than 100,000, and I don't know of anything that was big. The largest one we had was recently the on West Street, the lining. That was this fiscal year.
But really, this is all new. Part of this, I remember when I got on the council, was the idea that we had hired them to do the study to see how much an EDU, the cost, and what the effect with the new plant, and how to price it. And part of the big piece of it was selling the 35 or 39 a year.
I think it's 35 a year, I believe.
And that hasn't happened. You know, it was a bad timing. It's just, you know, getting all this to work, and I guess in the new budget, you'll refigure and reconstruct the money to reflect.
Right, I forgot about the Twisters or the athletic depot. They just purchased 8.
Yeah, so it's finally moving the EDUs, but that's a big piece of.
Then we have Cannery Village with potentially 35.
All right. After we're planning 35 and getting 28 or whatever number we're getting, how have we modified our operation? And that this is not just a question to think about. How have we modified our operation to compensate for that shortfall? And that's the information I would like to share. Not now, but give you time to think.
Plan for it.
Anyone have any other comments or questions regarding the audit?
And I just want to take a minute to thank Natalie and her staff for all the help we got this year. We actually finished up the audit a day earlier than we had anticipated because they were exceptionally organized this year.
Well,
so I think you got a good staff there.
Yeah, you really do.
Good job.
Yeah.
Good job. Thank you. Good job. And if you think they're good now, you wait until they get something to get softer.
Very good. Thank you so
thank
much.
You all. Thank
you. See you,
Mike. Hope to see you too. Thank you. Next on the agenda is item number 4, which is the approval of a contract for the purchase and installation bleachers and benches at Henry Park. This is something that has been contemplated and talked about for some time.
Yes. This is actually pretty much the last piece of the overall grant that renovated the entire basketball court. This is for the purchase of 2 sets of 15-foot bleachers and 1 set of 21-foot bleachers. Do I have that backwards? No, I did get that right. The contractor that we're recommending is the low bidder. Excuse me, for a total price of $27,439. And that would be Greensight LLC. And those are the actual bleachers, by the way.
This stationary?
Yes.
Yeah. It will be moved around.
Correct.
And is it realistic to expect this to go in spring?
Depending on what kind of weather we see, the biggest impediment to installation is the fact that it will be installed on concrete pads. So they do have to watch the temperatures in order to do that.
It'll allow for curing.
But if they get a period of time where the temperature is okay during the day, then they can move ahead. So it's the plan is to move, but it may end up being delayed.
Anybody can predict the weather now.
Absolutely.
Really, really special.
Move to it.
One question, man. What's the expected lifespan? Did they give you any expected part?
I believe it's 20 years, which is pretty much typical for this type of equipment.
Oh, okay.
Can we have a motion to approve the contract for the bleachers and the benches at Henry Park basketball courts for a total contract price of $27,439. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, the motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
I want to bring everybody up to date on the train excursion study. Last Tuesday at the Fletcher County Commissioner's regular meeting, public meeting, Randy Gustafson of Stone Consulting, Incorporated in Warren, Pennsylvania, presented the phase one findings of a train excursion study that was conducted this fall. The cost of the phase one study was shared between Worcester County Commissioners, the Town of Berlin, and the Town of Snow Hill. The good news is that the study clearly establishes that there currently exists more than the necessary market for a profitable train excursion operation in Worcester County. While admitting that they used very conservative estimates, the study showed that the Berlin Snow Hill area had at least 50% more potential train excursion ridership than what is needed to make the venture a success. Historically, a minimum annual ridership of 50,000 people, individual people, is needed, and our market in Worcester County, at a minimum, offers a potential annual ridership of 77,000 people, using very conservative estimates based on multiple measures of population and visitors. The bad news is that any potential train excursion operator and the owner of the existing tracks, the Maryland-Delaware Railroad, a private company, will both need to make significant investments in railroad infrastructure to get started. The Maryland-Delaware Railroad will need to make improvements in upgrading the condition of portions of the existing tracks between Berlin and Snow Hill to create 2 4-mile sections, one from Snow Hill to Newark and the other from Berlin to Newark. This is not a train excursion from Berlin to Snow Hill. That's much too long. The folks have been doing this for decades now, know that the 4 mile length is just ideal. The firm operating the excursion railroad, which is yet to be determined, will need to invest in train stations for boarding and passengers, a place to securely store and service the locomotive and passenger cars, and an ongoing targeted marketing effort to make residents and visitors in the region aware of the train excursion. The good news for Snow Hill is that getting started there will be quicker and take less upfront investment in infrastructure, because they not only preserve their original train station, unlike Berlin, they also have remodeled the one they kept and upgraded to meet all current American Disabilities Act requirements, ADA requirements. The good news for Berlin is that about 80% of the potential market for the train excursion is right here, and trackside locations are potentially available for restoring the needed infrastructure. The ideal train excursion experience would be a 4 mile trip from Snow Hill to Newark, or a separate 4 mile trip from Berlin to Newark. Through our common good fortune in Newark, halfway between Berlin and Snow Hill, there is a bona fide railroad train museum already in existence, right next to the train tracks. Initially, based on the information we received so far, the Borough Mayor and Council are very supportive of Worcester County taking the next step of pursuing phase two of the study. In phase two, the consultants have worked to prepare the following: expectations for job creation, an operations budget, capital cost investment, the potential for growth, the immediate and long-term economic impact, and a packet created by the consultants to solicit requests for qualifications, commonly called RFQs. Consultant also reported that he has already received 3 requests for RFQs as soon as they are ready from qualified and reputable train excursion companies in the United States. It's too early to say it's a done deal, but if the Worcester County Commissioners support financing a less costly phase two study, it's generally expected to cost half as much as phase one, I would characterize the situation as filled with promise, and not too far in the future we could be building up ahead of steam for a significant new attraction to the communities of Snow Hill and Berlin that would not only benefit our communities, but put significant heads on beds in our neighboring community of Ocean City. It's not a done deal, but it's certainly looking very positive. The outgoing commissioners, the last week's meeting, were very fair to say, were very positive and very supportive. They asked Bill Badger, the Worcester County Economic and Development Director, to get together the specifics of what the phase two study would be and cost, and present it to the council, the new line of county commissioners at the earliest possible date. So I sincerely believe that before the end of this year, possibly as early as December, the commissioners will be hearing the proposal for phase two. And again, we're very hopeful because this is an economic development potential, not just for Snowhill, not just for Berlin, but for the region. And the interesting comment, I don't think I'll ever forget, Mr. Alphon Randy said was, this is the kind of attraction where you can own the fourth quarter. 53% of ridership on train excursions is between October, November, and December. 53% of the whole year. That's what excites them so much about Berlin, because that is exactly the same time when our festival season starts to peak. And we need infrastructure, we have the market. Snowhill has the infrastructure, needs the market. I'm looking forward to working together with the county and with the town of Snowhill for us all to pitch in what we've got. And of course, private enterprise will be the driving force behind this, and I'm hoping. And I don't think that is wishful thinking at all. My guess is, based on what I believe we know from this initial report, is train excursion could begin maybe as early as a couple years. It could be fully implemented somewhere between 3 to 5 years. And again, would have a permanent and lasting impact on increasing guests who spend money in our community for literally for decades and decades to come. So that's my analysis of it. Does anybody on the council listen to any additional comments? Or?
I think it's a good thing. You know, it's moving forward, and a lot of interest, a lot of opportunity there for Snowhill and Berlin,
Newark,
and partnership.
Again, I think we're the perfect example. You know, you take on the world by yourself, and you make that your standard operating procedure. You against the world, guess who's going to win? But I think these last several years, particularly, Berlin has been trying to follow a model of finding good partners and then just doing our very best to do what we can in the partnership. And that's why I think this particular endeavor follows that same line of thinking and that same way of operating. So we'll obviously all stay tuned and follow this along, but we're optimistic and we're hopeful that the commissioners will continue to help finance the remaining study that needs to be done in phase two. Okay, next we have is departmental reports. First, our finance director, Natalie Salee.
Good evening, everybody. Last Friday, finance department attended Salisbury Shorefront Conference and we spent the whole day. The day consisted of 4 sessions and different topics and subjects were covered, from fraud committed in municipality to fraud at the insurance level and fraud at the department level of within the organization. So it was very useful and interesting to see what possibly is out there and what we should be on the lookout and within. But comparison from what I've seen there and what we have, in a very good healthy position was the segregation of duties and paperwork procedures. So I don't have any concerns.
Great.
Also, we have 2 proposals from software vendors, and I think, I don't know if Laura's going to touch on later now. We're having presentations next week, December 8th and 9th, 2 full days dedicated to those 2 vendors who are responded to our RFP. And basically, they're going to come on site and cover everything what they have to propose, and it's going to be a full day from 8:30 till 4 o'clock. We'll be just reviewing
We're encouraging any member of the council to sit in on as much of the presentations as you can. I realize that everybody here has got a lot on their plate, but...
We can't have three of us there, though.
Right.
It's a meeting.
Yeah. And so, you know, if three show up...
I'm planning to attend.
Yeah. If three show up, somebody needs to go get lunch, all right? That's just the way it is. Because quite frankly, and this is one of the ironies, I think we have to try to have an extraordinarily open form of government, because, you know, it's silly to do it any other way, especially in a small town, but sometimes it all makes some sense. When we're trying to gather information, we have to have a presenter present it three times so that we don't have a quorum, so that we can just get information, which is ridiculous. And so, you know, just we live with it. But there's, you know, somewhere down the line, you want more efficient government, first thing you got to do is let us talk to the people who are the experts, who have the information, because right now, most of the time, we have to go through a third party, which is the very capable department heads. But, you know, it's just, I think it's something that will evolve over time. You know, the law is always behind reality and changes, and I think that this is one example. So no decisions are made, but I think the better informed each council person can be, the better informed I can be, hopefully the better judgments we'll make when we're asked to make the final call. So thank you. Next is Deputy Town Administrator Mary Boland.
The town staff last week on the 18th and 19th underwent the training for the new notification system. The system is ready to go live and have citizen sign-ups and begin actually pushing messages out. Obviously, it's a little early for that since we haven't had very many sign-up. What is being passed down right now is a threefold flyer that is going to go into the next utility belt. It tells people what the notification system is about, gives them a little bit of information on signing up, which is very, very simple to do, and actually provides them with a form or the contact information if they would be more comfortable not doing it themselves on the internet, but rather having a member of town staff handle it. So we are sending out press releases, it will be in the newsletter, and it will be live on the webpage tomorrow to begin gathering citizen sign-ups.
And when should people expect their utility bills?
The next bills will go out right around the 10th of the month, so the information will be out there prior to them getting the bills. But this will make sure that they all really do have it in hand and can take a better look at it.
We really urge you to take advantage of this. It's just... applying modern communication in a way that keeps you informed as quickly as we know something, you know it. Especially, give example, thank goodness they're rare, but like power outages, or if there's a water main that's broken and we're having to create a temporary detour. It's just the potential ways to get information to the public is we really don't know all of them yet because we've never had this kind of capability. But we want to keep you informed, and you can help us simply by telling us your preferred way of being contacted by the town.
Okay.
Thank you. That's great news. Anybody have any questions for Mary? Next, we'll have Water Resources and Public Works Director Jane Kreider.
Good evening. Last week, Public Works had a very successful bulk pickup, which was probably one of the largest we've had. A lot of people took advantage of it.
Better than the Branch Creek,
right?
Pick it up.
We're reading meters this week. It's a little bit early, but with the holiday there, trying to get it done before Thursday. And the first happens to fall on Sunday, or next Monday, excuse me. We're also gearing up for our vehicles up for the wintry weather. Hopefully it'll come later than sooner. But we are, you know, understand that there's a potential for some of that white stuff this week. And that's it for right now.
Excellent. Next is Electric Utility Director Ken Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Past 2 weeks, most of the time has been spent on installing the holiday lights in the downtown area, the skyline. We set the tree at the Atlantic Hotel, but the decorating of it is completed today. Looks very nice. We were going to turn on the lights. We normally do it the day before Thanksgiving for the holidays, but it's 100% chance of rain on Wednesday. So we decided to turn on all the holiday lights tomorrow, so they're actually going to be on tomorrow night. Now the tree will not be lit. That won't be lit until Friday at 5:30 for that. Then also, I wanted to update everyone on the transmission bulb replacement, EPL project. I actually spoke with the construction manager, Jerry Orange, from Delmarva Power today. They are right on schedule. What they have left to do is they have four poles replaced behind their high point at Savage Substation. Two of the poles are going to be switch poles. They'll be doing that when they come back after. They're actually off the entire week for Thanksgiving. They haven't been home in like 2 months, I think,
from West Virginia. Yeah.
So they headed home for the holidays, and they'll be back here on Monday 1st. They've got four poles to install. They've got two switches to do. Then on December 10th and 11th, they have a company called C-Core that's coming in to do some adjustments on the switches that they have to install. And the tentative schedule for the outage is on Saturday, December 13th. From 12 a.m. in the morning until 4 a.m. And that is dependent on the temperature, the weather.
What were those times again on Saturday, December
14th? That's on December 13th, which is on Saturday, from 12 midnight until 4 a.m.
Okay. Most people won't notice.
And we'll definitely put out notice well in advance. We've already had a few calls about the outage. I tell them it's at midnight, they're like, oh, I'm closed that day. I think we'll work out.
Is that town-wide, that outage?
Yes, it will be the entire town.
Can we just make sure that the hospital is also reminded as well then?
HEH? Yes. They're on Delmarva Power.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Sign that you see up here, this is the new sign that we just had made for the electric department. The original sign was made out of wood and it was basically rotting. It was made out of aluminum. It has a little few changes to it. We added the town website to the bottom of it and kept the name the same. And we changed the upper top part of it. But the sign will not. It's made out of aluminum, so not going to have to worry about it deteriorating. Haven't quite figured out where we're going to put it yet. I like where it was under the tree, but the problem being under the tree when all the stuff from the tree falls on it, then it discolors it. So I was actually thinking about mounting it on the side of the building, right by where the front door is, off to the right. Plus it gets it up high off the ground where you can see it from the roadway. Right by the tree, you had to look through that fence. It kind of takes away from it. So.
But I think that's an excellent idea about putting on the building. Excellent. Very good. Looks very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
And by the way, too, I'm very pleased that you're turning the lights on 24 hours earlier. I'm sure we won't get any complaints at all. But if it had been on 24 hours later, we'd have to leave town. Just keep it in mind. That was an excellent decision.
Thank you.
All righty. Next is Police Chief Arnold Dow.
Good evening, everyone. The last weekend this week is finished all in-service and mandated training. Currently, they're finishing off the use of force and taser training, which is mandated by the training commission. Everybody finished with the form qualifications. And we also had our SWAT bi-monthly training, which included the last school in town that had to be assessed. So the last school was City Decatur Middle School. We did assessment and had opportunity to sit down and go with administrators with a couple of concerns and just review and have that open line of communication while things are good. So we feel real proud with that partnership. Also had opportunity to go to a couple of schools during American Education Week, and that was a very fun time. That's it in my report.
Thank you. Next, Human Resources Director Jeff Fleetwood.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. A couple things. Over the course of the last 2 weeks, I've taken the opportunity to meet with just over 40 of our employees in a group setting, discuss a couple things. One, it's kind of a sad, but it's the reality with Michael Day, with retirement mode, as we call it, going through that process of processing everything for him. You can read, you can study, you can take tests. Until you do it, you know, you get the hands-on. So going through that process with Michael, I wanted to get out to our employee group and share some of the experiences that were learned through that process in case we have employees that are contemplating retirement. And then on the piggyback of that, the opportunity to discuss with the employee groups the lesson learned year-to-date thus far with the healthcare that, that we utilize in this year in the fiscal year. And then I had the pleasure today to onboard this esteemed colleague to my left, Ivy Wells, and I welcome her before you get that opportunity.
You process the paperwork, right?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Next, as obviously, it's not Michael Day. This is our new Economic and Community Development Director, Ivan Wells, and today was the beginning of her first day on the job. And first of all, welcome. We talked earlier in the day. And briefly, just to tell folks a little bit about where you're from and how the heck you ended up here.
Oh, sure. Hi, Mayor and Council and everyone. It is an absolute privilege for me to be here tonight. It's been a pleasure meeting all of you. And to answer what Mr. Mayor said, I came from the town of Sykesville. Michael Day and I have worked together for the last 7 to 8 years. He has been keeping me abreast of everything going on in Berlin, and I was always a little secretly envious about everything that's going on here. And when he told me that he was retiring, I thought, this could be a great opportunity for me, and he encouraged me to apply, and here I am today. Just bought a house, moved in this weekend, and very happy to be here. And I hope to meet everyone this coming week and then full steam ahead next week.
Are you living in Berlin? Or near Berlin?
Well, right now I'm staying in a hotel in Ocean City, mm-hmm. and then move in December 1st.
But are you moving to Berlin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's
absolutely, yeah. So I can walk and bike to work.
Hey!
Exactly.
Make sure you get all your safety tips from Patricia first. Great. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Welcome. Most welcome.
And appreciate the hospitality.
We're looking forward to a lot of fun things, and a lot of things that hopefully will improve the quality of life for the folks in our community and the economic opportunities for people that we couldn't even dream about. So thank you. And good luck.
Thank you.
All right, next is the town administrator's report.
I just want to reiterate, welcome, Ivy. Looking forward to working with you. Tim mentioned the townwide outage. That's one of the things we're planning on using the mass notification system for, is to just remind folks in advance of that going on a couple days before and then holding the day of as well, the day before. So we'll be putting that in place pretty quickly in the middle of December. Sharing to you a photo. Also, thought I'd share with you the photo from the Tourism and Travel Summit that we went to. This is Lisa Challenger getting her award for Visit Maryland, which she highlighted from her campaign to become America's coolest small town. The town also won Best Social Media Campaign, and Historic Horse Trails Run Through Berlin won Best Product or Event. So we were highlighted at that tourism conference for 3 awards, so that was a great picture.
Yeah, that's really unusual. Those towns don't get an award, and we got three. We're very gratified.
So I'll go ahead and give you the purchase order list here. We have purchase order number 1227 in the amount of $27,439 to Greensite LLC for purchase and installation of features and benches for Hammond Park. Purchase order number 1302 in the amount of $26,930 to Apple Ford for new pickup for public works to be purchased through state contract. Purchase order number 1303 in the amount of $140,428 to Johnson Truck Center for new trash truck to piggyback off of the city of Greenbelt. Purchase order number 1295 in the amount of $4,625 to Curtis Engine for service contracts for 7 generators. And purchase order number 1314 in the amount of $2,694.39 to Pittsville Motors for emergency repair to transmission of truck number 37. And that concludes my report.
What department for truck number 37?
Water department.
Yes. And what type of truck is it?
It's just a 150. Yeah, it's just a regular F-150 Ford. But it is, I believe it's 2006. Yes, yeah, it's the truck that we used to do all the rounds in town. It barely gets to go above 35 miles an hour, and it stop and go, and that's what, why we were told that the transmission wore out earlier than the other ones do.
On the trash truck, that's going to allow the same amount of capacity as the other, as
yes.
The old, same thing. Okay, I'll make a motion that we approve all 5 purchase orders.
And we have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve the 5 purchase orders as presented by the town administrator. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. They are approved unanimously.
Thank you.
And again, I just want to take the opportunity to wish everyone a very happy and fulfilling and Thanksgiving. Hope that you're able to spend it with family and friends. And to remind everyone that our coldest Christmas ever officially begins at 5:30 Friday evening. And I don't know what the weather's going to be like, except I expect it to be Christmas-like. Coolness. It's going to be cool more than in one way. And we invite as many of you as you can to come on downtown and enjoy the launching of the Christmas season.
I just want to thank Jane and all the rest of the staff for noticing that we can get that new truck at that cost and that savings that you did. That's really thinking outside the box. You should commend us for that. Thank you.
I just have a quick question. I went to the Lower Eastern Shore Mayor's Association dinner at the Log Cabin last Thursday night, and Kokomo is proud to death because they now have 10 acres filled with solar panels. So I'm sitting there watching this, and I keep, it's like we always have people come in here and present things to us, and I don't know how long ago it was, but these guys assured me they're not the same ones that came in, but we got approached about doing the same thing, and I just feel as us owning an electric generating plant and with a qualified person, I mean, for example, they have 19 meters hooked to these 10 acres. That's a savings of $54,000 a year. All their public utility buildings are now being run electric-wise by these 10 acres of solar panels. It costs Kokomo $0. They just had to provide the land. But if you look over 20 years at $54,000, that's $1.8 million. And I just think going forward, if Tim, if we couldn't, I've got these guys, but if, I mean, we could get some solar.
We just talked about that this morning.
I mean, I just think we're missing the boat here. And with being an electric plant, the more we can get out of these.
I just had this discussion on Friday with the solar company.
Is it the solar or whatever? Solar for, yes.
Well, there's several out there. You have Solar City.
This was standard solar.
We actually had this discussion last year and the year prior to that, and there's a lot more to it than just that. Mm-hmm. Normally, they want you to sign like a 20-year contract, and that's a long time.
What happened
when you build a large solar system, like say, a 2-megawatt system? That normally is a 20-year deal.
That's what this one is.
Right, and we always involve Booth Associates because they're our consultants. they look at all that, and you know, when you look at that amount of time, there's a lot of things that can happen.
A lot of variables.
But we are actually talking about it right now. I just spoke with them last Friday about it, and I talked to Jane about it this morning. The thumb rule on solar is for every megawatt of solar power, it normally takes about 10 acres of land. So if you figure if you do a 2-megawatt system, that's normally about 20 acres. It's hard to find 20 acres of land in Berlin to put that type of system that's open. So we actually discussed maybe one of the treatment plants out at Chop Tank to see if we could do it out there.
I mean, there's something there, though, don't you think? I mean, something to investigate?
Just to let you know, behind the meter on the customer side in town here, in the past month, there's been several solar systems that have been completed. One of them is right around the corner from Mr. Gullius' house, 282 Powell Circle. Upshur Lane has two of them that have went in there, one on Tingle and one over at Dolan Way, and that's all happened here in the past couple of months. So a lot of the customers are actually putting in solar systems.
But it's getting more affordable. I know, yes. 15, 20 was crazy, the amount.
Yeah, there's a lot of grant money out there for different type, like canopy systems over a parking lot for small systems. Mm-hmm. Or like the company I was talking to on Friday, they were suggesting, you know, 150 kW system to 200. But that's a 20-year contract. We're definitely in
the
discussion.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, if you will, just kind of, once you feel it, gotten a good feel for the information, if you can, mm-hmm. and working with, you know, yeah. Laura and Mary.
We've actually talked about it also.
It just what I would say is, it doesn't have to be tomorrow. When you get all the information together, you can put a presentation together for us. Like to kind of get up to speed of where the market is and where we are in relationship. Isn't that basically what
we
need to
know?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's have one thing. Jean, where are we on the sidewalks on Brake Street?
They're being designed now. They just wanted to know, got the award. They were out there last week doing all the surveying. So I think the contract was for 60 days, so in 60 days we should have
completed
the design.
So the design?
Yes,
So expecting installation in sometime in spring, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wasn't you going to talk with, did John Dale Smack talk to you about traffic?
About traffic?
Traffic.
On the road, yeah. Yes.
Do we have any comments or presentations or questions from anyone in attendance here tonight? Yes, sir. Just, even though we know you, just your name and address, and that's when it's recorded for the record.
My name's Larry Smith. I live at One Cape Circle, Berlin. I'm sorry I even had to come here tonight to address this issue. I've been trying to get it settled for 6 months, calling the town of Ocean City, Berlin, and nothing's happened. I started calling 6 months ago about the Leland cypress limbs that hang over Meadow Street. That's the road that goes down by Gull Creek. And especially after tonight, and I heard this over a half-hour presentation on safety on our streets, our roads and stuff, I've approached this from a safety issue because I've already been run into these limbs on my motorcycle once. My car's been in them several times because when you get another vehicle coming the other way, you cannot get over far enough to miss them. Like I said, I started this 6 months ago. And I have called at least twice, probably for 5 months. I called on 10/14. I even called the mayor's office. I called planning and zoning. They called me. They said they would talk to Gull Creek, who owns the trees, and get back to me. For 6 months, I've heard we're going to send them a letter. We're going to call them. how many letters and calls does it take before the town of Berlin will enforce its own codes? I mean, this is a safety issue. And it's only going to get worse if it snows. So anyway, I called on the 14th, and I was told that they would get back to me. They called Gull Creek and were told that Gull Creek was under new ownership, but they would take care of it. Now, that is 6 weeks ago, tomorrow. And nothing's been happened. So I called again the 19th, last week. Said they would call Gull Creek again and get back to me. Nobody's gotten back to me yet. You know, I think it's ridiculous that I even took pictures of it, if anybody would like to see how far my car has to be over to miss these limbs.
You're talking about that line of cypresses right there down and around. Yeah, they're out of control.
I mean, why has it taken 6 months and nothing's been done? If I didn't pay my electric bill for 6 months, you daggone would get on me, right? You would make me pay it, or you'd shut it off. So why hasn't something been done down there?
Is that where it has to set between the highway and...
No, it's on the Gull Creek property. Like, if you're going straight into Gull Creek, it's all those trees. It's the perimeter of the property. They haven't been trimmed.
Between the retirement center and the single family homes on Meadow Street.
You make the first
Meadow Street.
Yeah, first
yeah.
Yeah.
Off of Decatur. And I mean, I'm sorry I even had to come here tonight, but after all these calls for the last 6 months and getting the same answer every time I call, I mean, now if I didn't mow my yard and my grass got up this high, you're going to send me a letter. And after so many days, if it hadn't been taken care of, you're going to come down and cut it and charge me. Right?
That's correct.
So how come we haven't done that to Gull Creek?
Okay, it's first time.
I called your office.
Well, we want to take care of it, though. We really do. We want to take it. It needs to be addressed.
I think the unique thing here is this is the first time I've been in council for 10 years that we've had a problem with somebody's not trimming their trees, and it's apparently coming into the right of way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never even heard of that happening anywhere in town.
Well, it's happening now.
It has happened in town that we've taken care of. Again, contact us. We may contact the public works. We'll take care of it. So, again, I'll go ahead and I'll do an assessment tomorrow morning, and I'll get up with James from public works. We'll make contact. If they can't cut it, public works will be able to take care of it.
Chief, that's all well and good, but these are the same things that I've been told for 6 months from planning and zoning and everybody else. They're going down there and they're going to look at it. While they go down and look at it, they send them a letter. How many more months is it going to take to get these trees taken care of?
One thing, like I said, again, I'm stating right now, the public works is out taking care of it every time I've made the phone call, and Jane has had her crew out there cutting trees if they haven't been done before. So this is the first time I've actually heard of it, and I haven't talked to Jane at all about it.
Don't we have to get permission from Gull Creek? We just can't go on somebody's property.
No, after this, after
they've
been notified.
They have, and then charge them.
It's in the right of way, and charge them. I'll put my head in the guillotine on this one. I bet you we can get some response in a couple of days.
Well, I hope so, because I've got some repair bills from where I was ran into them already. Do I have to send them to the town of Berlin to get something to do?
Well, can we get your number and give it to our town administrator, and she'll have somebody follow up with you today's, Monday by Wednesday? You think
sure.
That'd be good?
Sure.
Yeah, and again, what bothers me about this, there is a solution to this, but how come the solution didn't get enacted? It's not that difficult. We handle things and cause work for causes of this all the time.
I know.
So I don't know. I know I didn't know about it, but I do apologize because you shouldn't have to wait. Now, the thing is, if that notification didn't give it, as apparently it has.
I was told it has been. I've been told I was told three different times that they sent letters.
We verified the letters have been sent. We'll be able to go ahead and take care of it.
And then they have been called. And the last person I talked to last week was Dave, and he was going to call again. Well, I haven't heard a thing.
Dave's not here. Let me follow up with him when he's back in the office.
Unfortunately, the one department head that's not here tonight is the one who normally would be the front line for this. And then
And that's the office I've been calling for 6 months, multiple times a week, I mean a month.
Well, I need to calm down. I don't want to be all upset over the holidays. I want to get your trees taken.
Yeah, no, I just get upset when I get told to sing, you know what, over and over and over, and nothing still gets.
Like the kids, right?
Well, I can tell you something different. But the thing of it is, I think James is going to be able to take care of it seriously.
Okay. I do appreciate it. And want me to get to you after the meeting?
Yeah, yeah. As soon as we're done, if you just hang around for a second, okay. Give me a call, we'll talk.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Happy holidays.
Anyone else have a tree problem or anything else? Seriously. Do we have any questions from the press? We stand adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you